So some of us, when we get that good male figure, it's a lot easier than those of us that don't really have that every single day consistently within our reach. But when I learned just to be able to be coachable, to be able to be teachable, many of us, we have too much pride, or we feel like we already have enough, when I feel like you can never have enough.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Less Rock Podcast. I am your host, Philosophical.
I'm your co-host, Jay Echo. What's up? How you feeling?
What's up? What's up, y'all? As you can see, man, we got a great guest on, man. We're very, very excited about what we're discussing today, man. Mr. Gifted Mathis, you know, host of the Daily Gifts Podcast, evangelist, entrepreneur, and also a Navy veteran. Mr. Gifted Mathis, welcome, man. Really appreciate you taking the time with us.
Man, y'all, thank y'all, gentlemen, for having me on. I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. Make sure you guys follow him on all his handles at Gifted Mathis, man. Great content. Really, really inspirational and motivational, man, and really excited about what we're talking about today. So we're going to jump right into it, into the first question. What would you say is the most important characteristic a man must have to be successful on his personal growth journey?
Definitely. Where I started at, looking back on my life, I didn't really have a good male figure to follow. So some of us, when we get that good male figure, it's a lot easier than those of us that don't really have that every single day consistently within our reach. But when I learned just to be able to be coachable, to be able to be teachable, many of us, we have too much pride, or we feel like we already have enough, when I feel like you can never have enough. You can always be able to learn more. So as a man, I feel like when you're able to be coachable, when you're able to humble yourself and be able to be teachable, that's when you're able to grow. And it's been well to me in every situation, knowing that, you know, there's something more that I can learn. There's something I can get out of the situation. Taking that back, reflecting on it, and using it to move forward.
I'll add to that, man, because I think that sometimes, you know, I've kind of wanted to speak on this because I feel like there are two sides of the coin here, right? And your response is kind of a common response, right, that I can relate to. And I feel like couple things here is that I feel like a lot of men aren't very present in their sons' lives, right? And I feel like it's becoming more and more common, right? And I correlate it to, you know, me, you know, I'm blessed to have my father, you know what I'm saying? But I know as a young man, I never understood until now how it was important to have my father around, you know what I mean? But at a young age, man, I was so angry at my dad. You know what I mean? I was so angry where I felt like it was anger to the point where I didn't understand because I was so young, right? But I will say, you know, just him kind of staying on me and being disciplined on giving me discipline and teaching me discipline on like common sense and street sense. And I feel like that's very important, right? So I just feel like having a father figure is very important. And we've also spoken yesterday on just men in general stepping up, being there for other men, right? Yep. Having this conversation, you know, acknowledging and also, but also sympathizing with a lot of men that are going through life without a father figure and lack direction and confused, and it causes mistakes and unfortunately mistakes that are dire that results in life-changing consequences. So, you know, it's just one of those things where I feel like, going into my next question is like, give some scenarios where it's like providing that successful route on the personal growth journey for men that don't have that, you know, father figure around? You know what I mean? It kind of talk about how important that is.
Definitely. So me, myself, and in my life right now, I'm also, you know, coach sports. I coach baseball just because that men in that area of my life impacted me so much, because it doesn't always have to be your father. But like you were saying, as men, we can step up and see opportunities to pour into these younger men to just plant some of those seeds, just to be able to give them opportunities to see something different, so that they can know that there's other possibilities when it comes to them growing, and they can understand different ways of life. So we need to be able to take advantage of the opportunity of, you know, just spending that quality time and showing younger men that this is a certain way to do things. Because, like, for example, my wife, she's from Tanzania. She's from Africa. Okay. And she was telling me, back in her culture, every single week, the woman would get checked there to make sure that they're not sleeping with other men, to make sure they're not losing their virginity at a young age. So that kind of discipleship, in a sense, kind of pouring down to the younger generations on how this is how we do things, I feel like that's really lost in our culture. We're just kind of just flowing and going whatever's being done. We're not really getting groomed. We're not really getting taught on certain ways to do things. And we're learning from things like media. We're learning from what the school system tells us. And we're learning from all these places. And that's why we're seeing a lot of our men just going all these different routes, because we're not strong in some of the more important areas that we need to be developed in.
Okay.
I love that you said that, because we just had this conversation yesterday about, yes, there's mentorship, but it's also about the foundation that you're building, you know, that the lack of that foundation, or the need for a foundation, is part of what pushes people into these less productive routes, these less mindful positions that they find themselves in. And you also, but I do want to push back a little bit on the idea that, and you touched on it as well, on the idea that, specifically Black fathers aren't present, because, okay, you know, there are statistics out right now that say that Black fathers are some of the most present in at least North America and around the world. Like, we try to step up and do our jobs. When we do step up, we try to do, you know, of course there are exceptions to every rule. You know, there are those bums who decide, you know, oh yeah, I have a kid, but I'm not. And, you know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it's, you know, not taking care of somebody you brought into the world seems like a dereliction of duty, so to speak.
Okay. Go ahead. I wanted to add something to that, because you brought up a good point where, okay, let's discuss that statistic, right? Does that statistic also show, like, the age range of fathers being in some of these kids' life, right?
I don't think it does. Well, if it does, that's not what I was looking at. So.
Okay, so I guess I'll backtrack on what I said. I think there's a difference between, I feel like a mother and father need to be in the home together.
That
right?
part, yeah.
So I feel like when I say fathers aren't present, there could be a number of reasons why they're not present, right? Men make choices of who they either want their partners to be, or who they choose to sleep in bed with, right? Yeah. So that choice that they make can be you got one or the other in some men's mind, right? If a man chooses not to be with a woman long term and be with that woman, but also be with the child, they choose to separate to a point where it's like they're going to continue to do their life, but also some men, not all men, don't understand what that child needs, and they're depending
Definitely.
That responsibility on the mother to be the nurturer, the carer, but also teach that boy, that man, how to be a man, right? That boy on how to be a man, mm-hmm. right? And that's the issue where I feel like I have an issue with, mm-hmm. right?
Okay.
And I feel like if you're, first of all, if you're not going to be in that woman's life to be a parent to that child, then you need to take a step back and don't handle your business in the bedroom with that woman, right?
Absolutely.
Point blank.
I disagree at all.
Go ahead, Gifted.
Yeah. So, and that's where I'm getting at is I'm just an example of that. I didn't have that in my home, so I know. Like in my life, I made terrible mistakes. I was that guy that you're telling don't do that. I have children out of wedlock. But my father wasn't preaching that to me every day. My community, the way we were living, was like, that's what we do. You know, we're just out here trying to knock things. Like that was always top of mind for me versus dad telling me, hey, make sure you strap up. Hey, make sure you're not sleeping. So, you know, when we start practicing consistently that that's our lifestyle. You know, now I know that at an older age that I only, you know, practice certain things, read certain things because that's what I'm going to grow. That's going to become my character. But at that age, I wasn't really aware of that. And here you have a young boy coming into adulthood, you know, lost. And many young men are coming into that, but they don't feel like they're lost or they can't accept that they need help. But that's where it all starts when we say, you know what, maybe I didn't learn the right ways. I need something else. I need something else to someone else to be able to teach me the right ways. Because in our cultures, unfortunately, and other cultures, we're not really consistent with teaching the younger generations on how things are supposed to be as a man. We're either too busy, like you said, there's many different reasons. Maybe we're too busy outside of the house. Maybe we don't take that time every weekend to, you know, take our sons out to go do X and X and build that relationship. All of that is lost. Or like you said, we're just leaving and not being with the woman. Like, how do you expect the kid to really grow up and develop the necessary skills when he doesn't have that in his life? It's tough. It's tough for that to happen. But at some point, if you have the opportunity through a coach, through a, you know, you read many stories about athletes having coaches just kind of, you know, turn things around for them at a young age.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be, maybe someone in their church. Like if that happens more often, then I feel like we start to see that tie. But I know many people that I grew up with that they're still lost in life, you know, at this time, and they never really got the shot. Not to make it as an excuse, but they just never really had that guy like you just really on them. Like, hey, no, you're not gonna go down that route. This is how we're gonna do things. And if you think of yourself in your teenage years, you know, we thought we knew what was going on. We thought we knew it all, but we didn't really know what was going on. You know, we start to build those habits and our characters
way, even in college.
You know,
and I do. I just want to say I do appreciate some of the men that are stepping up, you know, but unfortunately, it's not being talked about. It's not being publicized. And I'll even bring up another point that I feel like we don't talk about in this podcast. Men that are even stepping up to be in a mentorship for that woman's child that isn't his child. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And even stepping up to be in that, the trying to be the man in his life. And remember, we spoke about that with Dwayne also, Jay.
Men
that aren't, you know what I mean? Men that aren't, it's not necessarily their child, but stepping up, being in that child's life. Right?
I mean, it's even frowned upon to be that person. You know, it's like you, of course, if you're, as long as you are that person, you know, what other people say isn't really going to push you away from that. But, you know, like I've had a whole bunch of people, like straight up, myself included at times, just straight up say like, oh, ain't no way I'm raising another man's kid. And it's just you know, it's, but the deeper into my growth and my development I get, it's like, well, you know, Gifted, you said your wife is from Tanzania and my family's from Ghana. Like one of the big things that, you know, especially on the continent, in Africa, is it takes a village. Like everybody has to pitch in to get that child to where they need to go. And even if the father isn't there, that child has somebody, whether it's uncles, whether it's family friends, whether it's somebody in place, a man in place to like, hey, I'm gonna look after you. I'm gonna teach you some things. I'm gonna like, there's always somebody there. There's somebody in place, but we've gotten so individualistic about it where it's all about the self as opposed to the community that the whole, even the idea of that is looked at as a joke or something to laugh at or something to shy away from.
Yeah. So I just want to, you know, clarify, I guess, you know, because we did kind of go around. The most important characteristics a man must have to be successful on a personal growth journey. So you're saying mentorship?
No, well, humility, because
humility. Okay,
you mentioned a journey, so we're okay. always going to be growing. We're always going to be developing. The moment you stop that, you know, you're okay. not able to grow as a man. I feel so to always have that humility, and also, you know, with your family, we serve our families. You know that we're not. Some men like to say, you know, I'm the dad, or you know, I'm the head of this household. Like, what my beliefs, like, I serve my family. I'm at the bottom, you know, carrying them. So always having humility when it comes to, you know, serving in our roles that we're supposed to be, you know, taking care of, and okay. constantly growing in them. So having that humility, because I feel like many times as men, we just feel like, you know, we hit a peak and we get stuck there, like we stop there. No, we're constantly understanding that, you know, I'm the servant here. I'm the student. You know, and my relationships, and then it's until the day you die.
Okay.
That's a good point. I want to push back on that a little bit, you know, because I mean, not against what you're saying, but against how you framed it, so to speak. You know, yes, you're a servant, but I think most good leaders are servants. You know, like service doesn't lessen you as a leader or as the head. In fact, your willingness to serve and to support is part of what makes you the head, so to speak. I mean, okay. would you agree or disagree?
I agree, definitely.
I agree, definitely. But I think there is a little bit of humility, just to kind of point off of what Gifted said. I do think there is somewhat some humility between serving and supporting, right?
Yeah, there has to be.
I think if you're supporting your household, you're supporting your family, but you're continuously in service to, you know, your family, but also outside of your family, right? You're uh-huh. a servant to potentially someone, yeah. right? Like, I feel like... And I've spoken about this as far as like slowly entering into mentorship, right? That's being a servant to potentially someone. I don't know someone's journey, right? But that person's journey, it could be anywhere, anytime, to any person, right? That person's journey could be relatable to my journey, right? I may be at a growing that they may be looking towards me, and somehow, through the grace of God and our paths cross, you know, God may have put me in their path for a reason, right? To teach yeah. them, to tell them a story, to understand where I'm coming from. Hey, don't make those same mistakes I did. And I feel like a lot of being a servant versus supporting, it's all in connected. You know what I mean? You're servicing and supporting your family, but you're also being a servant and supporting someone else that may need that leadership and mentorship. So I feel like that's very important in like the personal growth journey, growing yourself but helping someone else grow.
Absolutely. And in a sense, we get that back. I can't tell you how many Correct. People pour into me because I'm constantly looking for opportunities to serve others. And, you know, yeah. what you put out, you get that in return. And, you know, I see it over and over again in my life. Even today, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities to serve. And next year, you know, I'm getting blessed back and, you know, men who were further, like you were saying, in their walk in areas that I need help with. Next thing you know, I get plugged in, you know, at a coffee shop, at a seminar, and it's just like it comes back around. But so that's why I feel like when we start serving and seeing that as an opportunity, doors start opening up for us and we really start understanding our nature as a man, which is really to serve each other.
I can't. I agree so much with 100%.
I agree 100% too. But one of the things that I personally struggle with is like I and you both of, I know Phil, we've talked about this and you said, you know, you're slowly moving into mentorship, but like I consistently struggle with the idea of myself as a mentor because I'm still trying to figure my own stuff out, you know?
Yeah. There's so many that can benefit from what you do know. That's, I used to think the same way.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, you know, more than enough that you can help, you know, someone at, meet them where they're at, you know, and then you start having other people meet you where you're at and you start getting pulled through and it's like, wow, you know, because you're putting that out. There's some people that really need your help that you can help out from your experiences that, you know, you know more than enough and you have more than enough.
Not only that, you never know who's kind of saying and feeling the same way you are.
Absolutely. Right?
You may have answers for somebody else that you didn't know you have yourself. Yep. Right. Just you may feel the most difficult answers to answer someone, but they have a question. Right. And you have that answer. Right. And I think the first step of mentorship is being able to articulate that answer in the best way you can, because that's all that matters. Right. Yeah. Through your story, through your journey. And that's the relatable part. In my opinion, as far as like the personal growth journey. It's almost like who are you to say that your journey doesn't count to be to grow, to gift it, or to someone else, right? And I feel like sometimes when someone else is that same message that someone else is saying that you're saying, you're basically telling us and someone that your journey doesn't matter. That, absolutely, you know what I mean? My journey, gifted journey, is more important than your journey. And that's not true.
Yeah, so much to give.
Yeah. And you never know, you give it to someone else, what you get back in return. You'll get the answers to your questions.
Yeah. That was the main reason I started the IG and the post. I seen all these other people do it, and I said, oh, you know what? I don't have to do this. But when I learned, because I got tired of seeing all the negativity online, and I said, man, I'm tired of seeing it. But I said, you know what? I got to step up and at least do something about it myself. Although maybe I can help at least one person because they connect with me and my background and the way that I do things. I was so relying on, you know, all these other people that are already doing self-development and putting out those messages. But I kind of got over that hump by just starting the IG a couple of years ago and said, I'm going to keep putting out these positive messages. Maybe it connects with someone that someone else wasn't able to connect with them with.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, I have been connecting with people because they speak the same language as me. We may have the same background. And look now, that's how we connected. So
you gotta really
step into that.
It's funny because we were having this conversation yesterday with Winfred, where it's like you what's it called? Just the fact that you do what you do, like the different messages that we hear, that we think those are the prominent ones, but they're just the loudest ones, right?
Yeah.
And they're the loudest because nobody who thinks the way that they do, that you do, is stepping up to put out that message, right?
Yeah.
And you know,
I will say this, Jay, that, you know, multiple people have told not only me, but you, that, you know, this podcast is a form of mentorship, right? Yeah. The more and more we're doing this, the more and more we're telling our story, telling our journey, and having guests like Gifted Mathis on to tell their journey. And we're all connecting and relating to each other, man. We're doing something for somebody day by day.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Someone's listening. So, and I had to come to grips with this. I'm like, man, I look at the numbers. I look at the views. Are we reaching people, right? Why aren't people reaching back? But, you know, someone's listening. You know what I mean? Someone's listening to your story, listening to my story, listening to Gifted's story, right? But at the same time, it's like, just because we don't see it through like the numbers or the engagement, you know what I mean? We're doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
Right? We're telling our message. It's relating to someone, right? And I would just say, you know, someone in your shoes is saying the same thing, and you've got a message for somebody else to say, hey, you know, I was, it's just a simple answer of saying, man, I was where you were just a day ago, right? This is how you get through where I was just a day ago, right? You never know who you're going to confront anywhere, anytime, any person. And that's the way kind of I've looked at life lately, right?
I mean, I agree. It's just, it's something I'm coming to terms with right now, because even in like at work, like, so recently a student of, in the boot camp I'm in, he, like I TA for a cybersecurity boot camp on the side, you know, as a part-time job. And, this young man, well, he might be my age, I don't really know. But he, like, he asked me a question. He was like, hey, I know you, you've been doing this for a while. So can I just ask you a couple questions? And I was just like, first of all, I've been doing this for all of 5 minutes in my head, so I don't know what questions you got for me. But, you know, and I ended up having like an hour long conversation with this guy, just answering questions. And it's just like, oh, I think I helped him a little bit. I didn't mean to, you know, that wasn't the intention. I just meant to do my job and answer questions. And like you said, support somebody who needed something. But, you know, I hope I was able to be of help to that person. And at the end of the conversation, he was like, hey, once the class is over, can I continue contacting you? And I was just like, why? but I guess it's just like, I mean, sure, I got no issue with it, but, you know, just you never know. Like, you guys,
I see your pure heart. You just wanted to have a good brother to be connected with. You know, we all need that.
Yeah.
I mean, we do what we can. That's been my saying for the longest time. We just do what we can.
So I'll go to the next question. You know, in your opinion, you know, what are the biggest challenges that men are facing today? And, you know, out of those challenges, what can we do to overcome them, in your opinion?
Definitely. I will say this, and I'm gonna be a little careful with saying it, but here at least where we are, in the United States, I feel like the biggest group of men that are in trouble, that people are really coming after very hard, is the Black men and also the white man. Those two groups are getting attacked very hard right now, at least where we're at. So our trouble is, I feel like people are trying to move us out of the way, and something else raise our kids coming up. Because how inactive are Black fathers in the household? I know we were speaking about that earlier.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, again, I'm a statistic of that. I know many people of that, of just not being present, not being active. So I feel like as men, one of our biggest things right now, one of our biggest distractions is just not being able to focus on our responsibilities, on our callings, on the things we're supposed to be doing. There's so many distractions going on right now. And I feel like that's going to be the thing to continue to separate us. Because again, as a group, I feel like if we come together, I'm not saying only Black and Black, but all men, you know, all men could just come together. I feel like that's when we can really do great things. Because some of my greatest mentors are of a different color. And if I was so, I know I'm going there, but if I was so stuck on not being open to understanding different things, or being accepting of just getting things from wherever God blesses me from, I would have missed out on a lot of opportunities because I would have been so stuck in a certain way. So I feel like we need to be able to come together in a sense where I'm not looking at any other person in a negative way. I'm going to accept them for who they are and see how we can grow together. And also, I'm going to be looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others. Go ahead. I know I went there, so go ahead.
Well, no. It's fine. I want to ask a follow-up question to that and kind of give my comments on that. Okay. I do think you're right. But I think, not to be rude or disrespectful.
Come on, we open, we men. Come on.
I feel like people that hear that word, you know, we need a union, we need a community, they view that as cliche. They view that as, okay, you know, as a, you know, just sprinkling words together, right?
Like a protest and whatnot.
Like a protest. Like we're spewing politician words. Definitely. Right.
Right.
And this could be one of those, and I hate to say that because it's like, you know, it's the truth, but at Absolutely. The same time, it's like, okay, it goes back to, okay, if we want to bring each other together, right, in order for us to come together as a community, as a union, we got to meet in the middle, point blank, mm-hmm. right? Are we able to put our differences aside for a conversation?
Absolutely.
You know, are we willing to have a conversation on what are we disagreeing about in the first place, right?
Come on, now.
What are we, you know, because a lot of times, man, we're resorting to, you know, people having certain agendas and saying those words, oh, we need to be a community. We need to be a union for their own selfish reasons, right? Mm-hmm. But when you look deeper into it, what can we do about it, right? Let's speak on, and I don't like really going into like religious topics. Why is there such a separation in churches? Why is there such a issue in discussions in the way churches or what they're talking about now, right? Mm. And I'm an old dude. I'm not going to say my age, but when I was growing up, the church was a place that you went to when you needed that mentorship, when you needed that help, right? But right now, I think there's a certain attack on dividing the church.
Yep.
Now they're dividing the community.
Definitely.
And now what they're saying is that, you know, even us as, and I saw a post just last week on this, is that we as Black men are trying to compare ourselves to white men, mm-hmm. right? Be who they are, speak like they are, dress mm-hmm. like who they are. And it raised some questions for me on why. Why are we doing this, right? Because we as Black men, we have this mentality that, you know, the white man, and I don't want to kind of go into racist, you know, discussions, but, you know, I just want to put a caveat. This ain't about racism or anything, but we as Black men choose to speak and be someone else, you know, a white man, instead of having conversations with each other. How did you get to the point to where you're at right now, right? Because as men, and we've spoken about it on this show, as a Black men community, we're not coming together, right? We're hating each other. We're talking down to each other. We're killing each other, right? And now, you know, speaking back on the church is divided, the community is divided, and now people are doing things for selfish reasons. So I feel like the challenge is that, and it's always been a challenge, it's always been a divide, not only within our community, but between the Black and white men, to where, you know, they have their views against us, we have our views against each other, right? So, you know what I mean? Like, why can't we, so I guess the main thing is, like, why can't we come together and have a conversation?
Right. I think I love that you brought that up, both of you. But I'll speak on my opinion on it. You know, I don't know if it's right or not, but I think part of the issue that we've and this is gonna sound cliche, just like you were talking about with unionization and all of this other stuff.
Okay.
I think the issue that we run into is that we've gotten away from, for lack of a for lack of a better term, something that I can think of that, you know, speaks to it a little more directly, but the best way I can put it is we've gotten away from love.
Oh, and I agree. Good point.
I say it that way because, you know, when, like, we were talking about mentorship before, you know, that comes from a place of love, of support, of helping your fellow man, you know, and we don't trust that the conversations we are having are coming from a place of love because it hasn't been for a very long time, you know, like
I agree because there's a misunderstanding of the word love.
Yeah, there's a misunderstanding of the word love, but there's also, you know, there's also been a misunderstanding of how we express love to each other.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
I think, I mean, we're talking about men, so let's talk to it from the perspective of men. Like, okay, as men, we don't know how to love each other, right? Oh, it's correct. Always, you know, we've grown up with the idea that, oh, you don't show love for your fellow man unless it's a family member or a friend. Anybody else is an enemy. Now you could say that's instinct, you could say that's pride, you could say that's ego, you could say whatever. But the fact of the matter is we walk out into the world assuming that everybody's trying to do us wrong. When you actually take some time and you know, and communicate with people and listen to people and all this stuff, you realize pretty quickly that at the end of the day, everybody's just doing the best they can. You know, nobody's, now don't get me wrong, there are people who are malicious out there, but for the majority of us, it's just like, yo, I'm just trying to make it the best way I know how. Yeah. I'm trying to protect myself, I'm trying to protect my people, and I'm trying to do this thing called life. Yeah. But we get so bogged down in, you know, going back to the church thing, you know, some churches became this thing of judgment and damnation as opposed to support, love, and healing, which is...
That's the same group that in my religion that killed Jesus Christ was the church, was the law abider. So when you're talking about living in love, that's what he told us to do. And here you have these others that are separating us, and he didn't fit their description. So that's exactly why he wasn't living the way they wanted to live. So that's how he got hung on the cross. So, I mean, the church has been that way for some time, but it's just growing as far as the people who were just so stuck on, you know, law, or so stuck on just being judgmental. And most of them, a lot of times, are hypocritical. But again, I used to keep me away from getting closer to certain things. For example, like the church, I just started reading the word by my own and understand, oh man, they're doing it the wrong way. Whether it was white men, I was told in my communities, like, stay away. But I said, let me try this for myself. And now some of the greatest mentors in my life are white, you know? And I'm like, whoa, so I got to figure out things for myself. I can't always go with what everybody's talking about. Oh yeah, the church is this way. I can miss out on a whole life just because I'm, you know, listening to these stereotypes or listening to what other people are saying. So I feel like we really need to, again, break those barriers down and be like our one of our founding fathers, Martin Luther King Jr., where he's just talking about love, where he's talking about seeing character and not color, and start understanding that there's so many opportunities in that. And when we can come together in that way and not have those barriers that we just somehow get conditioned in our life, and we start being able to love freely and live freely, we'll have so many more opportunities and be able to have so much support within each other.
That's true. And I will also add to that, I feel like love and expressing those opportunities is also through the power of the tongue, right? You've got to not only feel it and wear it like you're wearing clothes, but also speak it. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to be able to put it into existence, right? Understanding like what it is that you want to express, like, and I feel like, and I'll just add this and we'll go to the next question. I feel like sometimes when people love the best way they can or the best way they know how, it's judged, right? Mm-hmm. The way we love our partners, the way we love our friends, the way we love our people love us back, it's judged, it's construed as hate, it's construed as because one person is being loved and loving back someone in a certain way, they don't deserve that, right?
That's right.
And I feel like that's one of the things and challenges that I feel like a lot of men are either facing or going through today, not only within relationships, you know, dating, within general life, you know, not having that father figure in their life, just trying to search for mentorship, social media, the church, within their community, their environment they're in right now, right? And I feel like a lot of men, the challenge is they're stuck because they don't know the right words to say. They don't know the right words to feel. You know what I'm saying? Because of the environment they feel they're always going to be stuck in. Mm. You're right? And misunderstanding the word love, right? And point blank, I feel like in order to overcome that is that you got to put good people around you and understand the people that aren't good or conducive within your circle to walk away from it.
Yeah, Phil, I just want to add to that real quick, because sometimes we are literally like stuck in those environments. Maybe we're 16, 17 years old. My mom's is in the hood. That's just our school. But the way I got out of that is by becoming something different on the inside. So I was listening every single day to content, finding positive speakers to listen to, reading books. And when you start transforming yourself on the inside, just naturally you start to gravitate towards different environments. And, you know, through that constantly conditioning myself and changing myself on the inside, I was able to go from, you know, living in low income housing to living to where I am now, one of the best areas in San Diego, because I conditioned myself. And although that was my environment at that time, on the inside, I was having a transformation, a renewing. So if you are a young man or, you know, someone out there just feel like, man, I can't get out of my environment, that's where you start at. Technology is available to us to, you know, we don't have to be scrolling, looking at these bad pages. Feed yourself with the right stuff. And I promise you, you're going to get out of that environment. The world's going to come support you and turn to what you have been putting inside of you. That's what you're going to start living out.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jay.
Just to sort of put a pin in it, it goes back to what you started by saying, which is you have to have that attitude and that mindset of learning and growth. Yeah. You know, if you come to the situation from there, then, you know, when you do recognize like, okay, my situation isn't changing, one of your first questions is, okay, what am I not seeing? What areas do I need to learn in and what areas do I need to grow in? And you can keep moving forward.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I'll let you go on to the next question, Jay.
So we touched on it a little bit earlier, I wanted to ask you, how much do you think a man's pride affects their ability and their willingness to grow?
I mean, that's everything. If you allow your pride to get into the way, you're going to miss out on so many opportunities. I mean, you're uncoachable. I was just making a podcast about it yesterday. If that's where I learned the most in my life, where I was a student. And I mean, if you go back to your school days or go back to the days when you're being trained, like that's where we're able to really grow at. And I carry that attitude all the time. I know what I'm an expert in. I know what I can do well in, but I'm still coachable. I'm still putting my pride aside. And, you know, I want to come off as a student so I can get as much information as I can get. If I'm put in an opportunity to, you know, be the leader in that situation, then I'll take advantage and be the leader to do the best to teach those people who are following me. But if I have too much pride in situations where I can learn, say from you, I can take something from Phil today. And if I have too much pride and thinking, oh, you know, oh, I'm gifted at this, or I'm X and X and I have this and that, I'm going to miss out on opportunities to grow. So every single day is an opportunity to grow. So I constantly put my pride aside and know that at any moment, God can be sending me a blessing through anyone. But many times if we let our pride get in the way, eventually over the years, we're going to see others just taking off and growing ahead of us. We're going to wonder what's going on. Well, you were never able to get coached any further. Like, you hit a point where you thought, you know, you were that guy, or you just knew too much.
Okay. So, go ahead, Jay.
A while ago, I can't remember where I read it or where I heard it, but somebody told me a while ago, if you ever feel like you are the smartest person in the room, then you need to get out of the room, right?
Absolutely.
And at the time, I didn't understand it, but the older I've gotten, you know, not like I'm super old or anything like that. But, well, maybe I am. I don't know. But the older I've gotten, the more I've sort of understood, like, okay, it's less a commentary on how smart you are and more a commentary on how much more you have to learn in the space you're in, right? Mm-hmm. And that, for the longest time, that confused me, because it's like, well, there's always going to be people smarter than me here, so, you know, that I'm gonna just stay where I'm at, I'm gonna be good, you know. But there's a difference between, you know, measuring intellect and measure, like you said, your what you're learning and your ability to be coached and to be taught and all of those sorts of things. And it's an interesting balance to find, because, you know, me personally, like, I always feel like there's something I need to learn. You know, as somebody who struggles with imposter syndrome, I'm constantly under the impression that, oh, somebody might know more than me. But as like we've been talking about, as you move forward and as you learn more, you start thinking like, okay, even if there are people here who are smarter than me, this still isn't the right environment for me to be in right now. So it's time for me to go on, to move on, and time for me to find my next classroom, so to speak.
So I have a follow-up question for you, Gifted. You mentioned a couple moments ago how at a young age, you made the transformation to want to change, right? Can you speak on that, on like what did you go through to kind of get to that point? Do you feel like you were at your last wit? Do you feel like you were your back was against the wall? Can you kind of speak on that a little bit?
Absolutely. So well, at 15 and a half, I had to grow up a lot quicker than many. I lost my grandmother. She was my person who took care of me, and my family didn't have much support outside of her. You know, that's all we had. So from there, I was just homeless, bouncing around different places, whether it's at girlfriend's house. By the grace of God, their mom somehow let me live there. I think about it now, I'm like, I would never let a dude stay in my house. Somehow I had that, you know, staying with some of the different family members, getting kicked out there. I was just all over the place, but I had to grow up and learn how to be accountable for my own decisions, because I started looking at my life. I couldn't use my grandmother anymore as an excuse to why things are the way they were. So I definitely, you know, whether it was, you know, being in a military boot camp, whether it was a jail cell, those moments really defined me, because I was just by myself and I had no control. And I had to really, you know, understand that my life is, you know, I have control over my life. There's decisions that I make, whether I end up like my grandfather, you know, drunk, cheating on your wife, just all over the place, just working all these different jobs, or if I end up like someone else, then it's my destiny. Like, it's based off of what I decide to do. So as I was in those moments, I'm like, man, like, I can actually live out this, my rest of my life can end up being this way. So I started seeing the end in mind and started understanding that, you know, hey, I'm a man now. I can't use these other excuses. Wherever my life goes, it's going to be because of what I did wake up and decide to do every day. So I really dug deep in those moments when it was, you know, in boot camp, in a jail cell, times where I was just in confinement, where I was away from everything. I had to learn that, you know, I'm a man now. I got to control my own future. I got to be accountable for the things that I do, whether great or you know, horrible.
I will add to that, man. You brought up a good point, holding yourself accountable, right? We that's kind of a new layer we've kind of spoke about. Holding yourself accountable.
It's been coming up a lot recently.
Yeah, it's been coming up a lot. Doing a self-check-in, we spoke about that with perspective on self-check-in within yourself, within relationships, holding yourself accountable on understanding that, you know, I correlate that to your story where you had to grow up fast, right? And no longer could we use, you know, just like you said, your grandmother passed to a point where, you know, a lot of the behaviors, it's almost like you were like, my grandmother can't save me anymore, so I have to grow up fast. And that was similar to my story, to where, you know, my mom passed when I was 4, right? And I felt like, you know, I just felt like, for me, I think that was my point when I had to grow up, right? I'm sorry, when I was 14, I'm sorry, not 14. And I just felt like, you know, at that age, I just felt like, you know, I had a place to go. I had to go live with my father. But at the same time, I didn't like that environment, right?
Yeah, and everything you knew before died out, you know.
Correct. Correct. I didn't have that caring nurturer to kind of protect me in that bubble of like, I'm not going to let anything in that bubble. Right. So for me, I feel like I had to kind of let my pride come down to where I may not have liked the environment with my father, but I had to navigate through a lot of the bits and pieces he was trying to teach me, right? And I also kind of grew up to a point where it was like, man, I didn't want to make the same mistakes my dad did, right? I didn't want to be the man that he made decisions for him. I didn't want that to be what the decisions I was making for me, right? Or also, I didn't want to become that type of father for my potential child. So I feel like it felt like at that time where I had to like grow up to a point where it's like, man, I'm no longer in that bubble anymore, right? I wasn't just getting up, my mom was, you know, here's breakfast, here's school, do your homework, go outside. You know what I mean? When mom passed away, it was more like, you know, you need to think about, you know, where you're going to work in a couple of years. How you going to make some money? I'm not giving you any money. You know what I mean? Figure out where you need it. You got a decision to make. You got jail, military, or you got college. You got 3 choices because you're not living here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And then having to, you know, and then, but my grandmother, right? Living with my grandmother, I felt like I was back in that bubble. But at the same time, I was at an age where I felt like I wanted to become independent. I was at a point where I felt like I wanted to like live my life to where I wanted to find my identity. Who am I? You know what I mean? But also understand and love my grandmother. And I felt like my mom and my grandmother were the pinnacle of understanding what love was, what love is, right? And I feel like a lot of times when we as men don't understand what that is, I feel like we don't understand it. It's because we don't understand what we have or had in front of us, that those building blocks, you know what I mean, that were laid down to the foundation for us. So as a result of that, when we don't understand and articulate those things that are going on in our life, what we do, we make the wrong decisions, right? We do things that are out of character. You know what I'm saying? we choose the wrong partners, right? We do the opposite of what a lot of our family members have tried to instill in us, right? But when you make those, this is the thing. When you make those type of decisions and you face the consequences and you don't have your mom or your grandmother or that significant person that bubble around you, your back is against the wall.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You have no other choice but to change.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Jeff.
One of the things that that was common in both of you guys' stories is that you both felt like you had to grow up fast. You know, you both hit that point of, you know what, there's no other choice but to step into manhood, so to speak. One of the things that was common in your stories and what both of you guys were saying was, you know, that you were forced to grow up, or you felt like you were forced to grow up, that you had no other choice, that your back was against the wall, and you just had to step in and do what you had to do. And one of the barriers to that for a lot of people, you know, myself included, is fear. You know, that idea of, oh, I don't have any other options, I don't have any other paths. There can be a lot of fear associated when you're in that place. So, Gifted, I'll start with you. Like, how would you say, what are some ways that you would that men should overcome fear and step into, you know, step into what it is they have to do, step into duty or purpose, or what are ways to overcome that fear and get to doing what you have to?
Man, definitely. I get asked that question quite a bit because people I know, they see how I was living before and just the things I'm able to do now. And they're wondering, like, what happened? You know, how is that taking place? And you said it. I just step into it and I have faith and I know that things are going to work out. And I think until you start trying, you know, just the smaller things first, you know, like you were saying about just as far as like being able to open up and mentor someone else. Like maybe you say, I'm not prepared yet. I jump into it right away, and I'm gonna either fail and I'm gonna learn from it. I've had so many just times in my life where I jumped into things, whether it was going to the military. I said, I want to be a SEAL. Now I'm out there running on the beach, training with the Navy SEALs. You know, and I've learned so much from different seasons of my life by just going into things, just saying, well, you know, however the outcome is, you know, it's gonna come out that way. It's either gonna be a blessing or a lesson. And it's been just that. So like you're saying, you just got to step into it. You have to step into it. That's kind of where you get to see God work, is where you step into those areas where you feel like, you know, maybe things won't work out. Well, go ahead, jump into it and see. And you get to grow. You learn so many skills. So now as I'm in an arena where if I don't work, if I don't get this done, you know, I don't eat, I don't sleep, I don't build this because I'm no longer, you know, employed. Now I have to jump in and take risks. And you know, it's taught me so much just to be able to know that things are going to work out. If God's telling me something, I know he said he has my back. So, you know, I let him carry that burden and I jump into it. So I think like you were saying, you have to step into it. That's the only way. If not, you're going to continue to, you know, wonder, you're going to continue to question. And I'm afraid of just living out a life of that, of never trying things. Like Les Brown said, you know, when you're in the bed and all those people, you know, are around and they're saying, you know, we're waiting on you to do X, X, and X. And, you know, all your dreams just died out there. They said they could have lived out things if you would have just tried, if you would have just went out. That same situation that maybe you were afraid to go to school and you ended up passing, it's the same with every single thing. You just got to jump into it. Some things may take a little longer, but you just keep showing up every single day. And trust me, it ends up working out. And if you don't succeed in that, at the least, you're going to learn something from it if you stay positive and able to reflect and have the right perspective on it.
I will say what your comments made me kind of think, right? I will say, I think a lot of it, I used to think a lot of ideas and a lot, I spoke on here before that, you know, sometimes I wake up with a lot of things on my mind, a lot of ideas on my mind, right? And I made me think just now, I'm like, a lot of that, is that intuition? Is that God telling me something? And it made me think that, I feel like sometimes we say this, but we haven't really dove into it like we are now is that, and I think Jay has mentioned this, you can't fail without trying. You can't finish without starting.
Absolutely. Right?
So I think a lot of it is that how do you overcome fear and go for it? And I feel like this is the perfect answer, right? This is the number one key. If you're being told more than once to go and do it, go for it.
Yep.
If you're being told multiple times to do something, or this is, you're good at it, or in someone else's eyes, you're prepared for it, go for it. Right?
Absolutely.
Because sometimes you got that one time where you're just out of conversation, you know. But the key is if you're having that same conversation with somebody you just met yesterday or 5 minutes ago, there's your sign, right?
Absolutely.
So I feel like, you know, the main key to overcome fear and to go for it is exactly that, go for it. But also, you know,
to listen
if it's being said twice.
Yeah, and I would also say, just put it in the perspective of, you know, you may end up not succeeding in that, like, but be okay with that and knowing that it's going to be a lesson. Be okay with failing. You have to be okay with going into things and failing, and put it in perspective of, I'm still going to benefit from that, from at least trying and knowing that it's not something that I have as a regret. So when we start putting it into perspective, like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, if it's something that is going to kill yourself, then yeah, of course, don't be messing around like that. But if you're going to get some rejection, if somebody's going to reject you or, you know, anything like that, I would much rather carry that, at least I tried, versus, you know, carrying that, oh, I got rejected.
I will add to that, you know, add a layer to that, or piggyback off what you just said. I will say this, that God sometimes can prepare you to lay the foundation and fail, right? But later on, he can put you back on that same road and you're prepared to build a house.
Yep.
Right? You just never know. Like, you could be going down one road and you're like, it didn't work out. But you could go down another road. It can lead you right back to the road you were just at. But guess what? You're more prepared. You know what I mean? You're understanding those failures that you went through. And you're more prepared than more than ever to succeed. Yep. Right? So, actually, I guess those are two keys now to overcome fear and just go for it, is that listen if it's being told to you more than once, and don't become discouraged as far as, like, if you fail at it during the foundation, just know that down the road, you're prepared to be ready to build a house.
So I'm claiming listen as mine. the reason I'm laughing is because even though I said it, I find that I'm the last one to do it, right?
Okay.
Like, the number of times where, like, going back to the teaching thing, the number of people who told me when I was younger, like, oh, you should teach. Yeah. And me being me, I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to be responsible for somebody's growth, for somebody's education, for somebody's development. I didn't want that.
But and I will not to cut you off, but I want to hold it on the teaching part, right? Not to cut. I apologize for cutting you off, but it made me realize the teaching part. I remember when you told me about this teaching thing, right? You were like, man, I don't want to teach. I don't like people. I don't like talking to people. But this is the thing.
Not at all.
But this is the thing, though, Jay. Your back was against the wall. You had to figure something out. So yeah, when you have to figure something out, it's almost like you have to do something that, you know, you don't want to do, but God is preparing you to do it. Look where you're at right now. But go ahead.
Also, gentlemen, what you made me think of is that's why it's so important to know our strengths. Maybe that's an area that I'm not strong at, because like, I'm in the process right now. I'm starting up my first school. our public school system at the least is very bad here in California. Like I have my son coming home telling me he's getting in trouble for praying in class. It's getting bad. So I said, you know what? I had a talk with God in the season and he's telling me to open up schools, plant schools. So that's what I'm going to do because that's what I connect most with. But as I get together a team, like maybe Professor Jay, that's not your area.
You should hear his nickname, Jay.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Come on, let me hear it now.
The thing is, I put that up just because Phil mentioned it one time, and I was like, I'm gonna start using it as my new handle.
I like just it.
Throw it out there, and now all of a sudden,
there you go. His nickname is Professor Echo.
It flow real good too.
I think
we should stick with that.
But like I was saying,
gentlemen, like my last name Mathis means gift of God, so that's why I go by Gifted Mathis. So I'm helping these kids identify their strength and their gifts, so that way when we come on a team, because that's what it's all about. That's where you get the most joy, where you're working together with others. Y'all hitting goals together, you know, forget, you know, building an empire by yourself. But when you're able to have a team, a network of people that are on the same page, everybody has their strength. You know, we look at a football team, the O-linemen in the championship game, they're not worried about running a ball. They don't need that kind of light there, but they want to do their place well. So yeah. I have a vision of just, you know, that many people getting together and everybody playing their role well. Maybe. You know, it's not a fear, but maybe that's just not where you shine at. Now, I don't know all the details. That's between, you know, you and God for people in those situations. But you got to know where you shine at. You got to know where your strengths are at, because you can bring so much to the team when it comes to your strength.
And I'll add to that. And I feel like, you know, the more you tell yourself that, you know, I'm not this or I'm not that, you're probably furthering your way to your strength.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
The more you gotta say more of a no, more no's, yeah. No's you say, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you.
You gotta be able to say, and me and Jay have spoken about it extensively on this show, to where, you know, as men, we're afraid to fail, right? That's just natural, right? We're afraid to fail, to make mistakes, but to admit that we did not succeed in something, right? But at the same time, I feel like this is growth as far as like saying, you know what, you may fail right now, but it's preparing you for tomorrow. And I feel like that's probably one of another key as far as like overcoming fear. Just go for it.
Yeah. And speaking personally, you know, I've these days, especially, I'm trying to be very mindful about the ways I talk about the things that I'm trying to accomplish, you know, whether it's teaching, which now I've sort of just accepted, like that's part of my journey, that's part of my life, that's part of my ministry, is like whether I actively seek it or not, I'm going to end up teaching somebody something. So I might as well just accept it and you know, do it to the best of my ability if I can.
Yeah. In your own way.
In my own way. Exactly. Absolutely. And you know, storytelling is one that I talk about all the time as well. But that being said, you know, I, for a very long time, the way I spoke to and about myself was not the kindest. You know, the way I spoke to and about my goals was not the kindest. It was always like, oh, that's not going to work anyway, so why try? And it's like, well, you've counted yourself out of the game before you even played a single down. Like, why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you killing your momentum before you've even started the ball rolling?
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back on it now and it's heartbreaking, because there are, like, just knowing myself, I know I'm an ambitious person, but I also know there are so many personal dreams that I've killed for myself because I wasn't willing to try.
Yeah.
And it it hurts sometimes because it's like, yo, you could have been so far ahead already. You could have been somebody. Well, you know, not that I'm not to toot my own horn or anything like that, but you know, you could have been somebody else's blessing already if you had just stopped blocking your own. Go ahead.
I was just gonna add a final point to that. It's not too late, you know.
Oh no, it's not.
You know, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of your life just because you're with the things you've said in the past. You know, doesn't mean the door is completely shut. It just means that you're getting to a point where you're not saying those things anymore. You're getting to a point where it's like those thoughts aren't there anymore. You know, you're feeling more confident, positive, to a point where it's like, you know what? I am good at the things I thought I wasn't good at, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're laying the foundation. So now later down the road, you're preparing yourself, and God is also preparing you to build a home. And you don't even know it. You know what I mean?
You're going to be able to reflect on the times where you're the complete opposite, because now your best days are coming. And so when you walk into those, you're going to have something to compare to, like, oh, no way. I'm walked out of that now. You're going to be so far away from it that you're going to be living, you know?
And to add that final point also, the most important thing is that you're going to tell somebody else that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You're going to add that value to somebody else's life.
And tying it back to, you know, some of the earlier conversations we were having, it's like, and that comes with, that goes back to that love thing, you know. I'm learning how to love myself a little bit more every day, and by extension, I'm learning how to love other people and sow that into other people. That goes back to mentorship. That goes back to fear. That goes back to all the things we were talking about, where it's just like, hey, the more you learn about yourself and about the things that you're trying to accomplish, the what's it called? Keeping that humility within yourself ultimately pushes you forward, and before you know it, you're further ahead than you even ever thought you could be.
Yep. So kind of our final question is, tell us some of the ways you've been able to maintain focus and discipline in a world that's set up to keep us distracted.
You know, my perspective, even like, for example, let's say this, I came onto your show. My goal is always to shine the light of Christ, to show his glory. That's always my goal, where I'm going, and to be able to maybe teach something that someone can take and be able to use in their lives. Yeah. So let's say I just completely fell like that. Let's say it's just like, man, things didn't go well, whatever it may be. Maybe I had a bad day or whatever it may be. I'm going to continue to keep going and use that as an opportunity to grow from. And I feel like when we allow every situation of our life to fuel our growth and move us forward, that's when we're able to become that better person we're looking to become. At least when I reflect on all my failures, and when I continue to just get more and more experience and get exposed to different things, that's when we're able to become what we're looking for. So I think I got a little off track from the from the question, but that's just an example that, you know, every moment I'm always in for it. I know that God has my back. I know that things are gonna work out, and if it doesn't in that moment, it's okay. I'm gonna keep moving. I'm gonna keep growing. I'm gonna keep going, and that's what's that's for me my perspective on life, which allows me to get the most out of it. Okay, yeah, I may not be living like such and such, but I'm running my own race. I'm going through my own journey, and I'm enjoying every part of it because I understand that, you know, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to do my best in every situation and continue to go and continue to grow and continue to learn from it. And I think with technology and things like that, many of us are getting off track of, the life we're supposed to be living, because we have all these distractions. We have all these other things lighting up, and we got to get back to ourselves, because each and every one of us has a special gift inside of us that God wants to use, that God wants to grow. But if we're too focused on these other things, we're never going to get to that. And, I constantly look to get to that and develop it and dig deeper in it. And it's been opening up new doors in my life.
So just a follow-up question. Why do you feel like I mean, we all are have been focused. Why do you feel like we as men or as people, I'll say, are so focused on that? Why is it such a focus on technology and social media and just focusing on the wrong things, in your opinion? Why is that such a focus, in your opinion?
I mean, honestly, I don't think we have that chief aim in our life. Those of us who really have that definite aim that we want to get after in life, okay, those are the ones that you really see focused. Like, they're waking up every single day, and they, like you were saying, no earlier, they know what to say no to. Like, I'm learning that at a deeper level now at this season of my life, knowing what to say no to, because I know exactly what it takes to get to where I need to get to. And like recent events, like I just lost my mom last year, just recently had her 1 year death anniversary. Before that, my sister. But all of those deaths played a point to where I'm at now, what I'm doing in my life now. Like, they lost their life for drugs. Like, they overdosed, both of them, for drugs. That's heavy in my family. So now with the schools and working with the children, I'm going to do my best to show them, like, look, I know you're gone, but I'm going to help somebody else get off to the right foot and not have to have a household like you've had. So that's my focus. That's driving me. And there's no way I can be so focused on other things where that's so significant to me. Like, waking up every single day, knowing that what I'm going after, knowing that how important it is, and one, knowing that it's going to be a long journey, because I've studied companies, they 19 something, 18 something. So I know for me, it's going to be some years, but every single day I'm going to move myself closer to that goal to be able to live out what I'm put here for. So I feel like many of us, we don't take enough time to see, you know, what does God really want from us? You know, what are we here to live for? And we're so reaching after all these other things that we don't really look inside and see what it is that we're supposed to be living out.
So I'll add to that. I do think a little bit of fear plays into that. They don't want to kind of look inside to see exactly where they're trying to go. Maybe a fear of, you know, whether it could be resources, finances, and I don't even attribute it to today's culture, instant gratification, right? If it's not something that's like I can get to, you know, tomorrow, then a lot of people don't want to put in the work.
Absolutely.
And I feel like, you know, the work you have to put in is not necessarily, you know, it can be done in, it can't be done in, all of it can't be done in one day. But if you can put in that work just a little bit each day, right, you see the progression, you see the results, right? You see the kind of the, begin to see the transition of what you're building.
Absolutely.
And I feel like sometimes, you know, it's not on people's radar right now, but when your back is against the wall, it becomes on your radar because you don't have any other.
You have to explore all options.
You have to explore all options.
That's why I want to meet people at a younger age before they get their backs against the wall. Because what I believe is, first we empower, we educate, and then we equip. And through that process, first, I'm going to understand that whatever it is God has for me, that I have the power to get to that. Like, nobody can take that away from you. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Like, you're talking about the greatest force in this world. So they're going to know through condition, through, you know, affirmations, through processes, to know that I'm empowered. Like, it doesn't matter what color I am. It doesn't matter where I live. Like, I'm empowered. And then we could be empowered, but not know how to get to that. So that's where the education comes in, you know, understanding how to get to that route in your life, understanding, you know, the actual knowledge that comes behind it, and finally being equipped. And once you have those down, there's not going to be any fear. You have enough confidence to know, like, this is where I'm at in life. This is who I am. This is what I'm created to do. And you're able to, you know, go through the process of that and kind of be discipled through it, because you have others pouring into you as well, let you know who you are. And then before you know it, you start understanding your journey. You start understanding your walk. But I feel like until we have that support that we really need, it's hard to really get to that. We have all these questions, all these fears, and all these dilemmas. So like I was saying from earlier, I want to step up and do at least the part that I can do, because there's one person at least that I can help. And if I can help at least just one person, maybe that one person helps 1,000 others. I've done what the best I can. Like you were saying, I'm just doing the best I can with what I have. And I wake up every single day with that attitude. And if it multiplies, it multiplies. If not, I'm going to continue to stick to that plan, stick to that message, because I know that's what God wants for me, based off of me sitting down and having those conversations with him.
Yep. Well, we're going to go into one of our favorite sections of the show, the wrapping up session, where we give our guests 3 to 5 minutes to give gems, let us know where you're headed, where you're going. So, Mr. Gifted Mathis, you have the floor, sir.
Man, well, first off, my favorite part was the whole podcast, man. It was great rapping with y'all. Great talking with y'all. So now you're saying the end is the favorite part. So let's go. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that. You know, this whole podcast is just a confirmation that what we've been talking about, you just got to take that next step forward. On how we connected, you know, me, even if I go back a couple of years, if I never started the podcast, I would never have the opportunity to connect with you gentlemen. You just got to get started. You just got to get moving and really understand that it's a process. You probably heard before, fall in love with the process. Like, seriously, when you start falling in love with the process through the failures, through the good, through the bad, it becomes so fulfilling. It becomes so much joy that even when you do take losses and you understand that you have the power to overcome whatever's going to come your way. So really, man, when you're listening to this, whoever's listening, and you have that goal, that burning desire on your heart, and you know it's something you want to do, get after it. Start today, because it's going to be a long journey, but it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be one full of lessons, full of, you know, you creating your legacy. Don't be afraid to jump into that and get going day by day. I'm building one of the biggest things that I can even imagine happening. Like, my vision is around the world, but I'm not overwhelmed because I know God's going to walk with me and I'm going to take every single step that's necessary. So I'm not overwhelmed. And I understand that, you know, I'm acting on what God has put in my life. I'm acting on what I believe. So that's it. That's all you need. If you know that it's something that you're supposed to be doing, go out and do it. Don't be afraid. Take the next step and enjoy it.
Yeah. Wow, man. Powerful, powerful, powerful message, man. Really appreciate Mr. Gifted Mathis for being on the show, man. Host of the Daily Gifts podcast. Make sure you guys check that out. Listen to it. Evangelist, entrepreneur, Navy veteran. Make sure you guys follow him on Gifted Mathis on all the social platforms. I assume your podcast is on all the platforms.
And educator. Also, right? Don't forget that.
And educator, yeah. So I assume all your podcast is everywhere, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Yes. Got a team. Tina help me out with that, because I'm not the best at that kind of stuff. So it's good to have support. Again, last gem is if you can connect with other, you know, good people who are good at that work, their works, do it. That's the best way for it to get done. We can't do this all alone. Build a team, connect with great people. Just like y'all two got together on this podcast. It's not just one of you doing it. It's both of you. Made the experience much better. So don't be afraid to connect with others. We got to do a lot more of that. We don't have to do it all on our own. Don't be afraid to connect with others and do things.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're learning, you know, developing our team slowly but surely. Make sure you guys follow him. His content, great content, amazing, positive, motivational content. Man, I learned a lot from it today just from being on this show today. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, man. Love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we spoke about, like your personal growth journey, right? Was it as relatable, you know, as your next door neighbor, as your best friend, to anybody you don't know, right? Don't be afraid to speak on that. You know, love to hear your words on that. You know, what are some of the biggest challenges that we didn't talk about today that some of the you as men, you know, we spoke about today that you're going through, right? And it's pride and change. It's pride causing you for your unwillingness to change, right? Love to hear your comments. Love to hear your feedback on it. And, you know, just speaking about overcoming fear, you know, as you can say, both everybody on this panel has kind of gone through that. Let's talk about it, you know, love to hear your feedback on it, right? Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe to Let's Rock Podcast on YouTube. Let's Rock Podcast on Instagram, all the social platforms, man. We really appreciate the time, Mr. Gifted Mathis. We really appreciate everybody, man. I'm philosophical. I'm out, y'all.
Take it easy, y'all.
Peace.
Man, appreciate you guys having me. Shout out to y'all, man. And I'm happy to be here, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here, man. You guys are doing amazing things.
Good, man. We're doing good. I see you guys looking great.
Well, I appreciate y'all for having me out, taking y'all time, and promoting positive black image.